You're listening to the Modern Vital Podcast, which explores the relationship between environmental factors and human health. Here is your host, Dr. Ben Reebs, founder of Portland Clinic of Natural Health and Modern Vital, elevating health and well-being one journey at a time. Stay tuned for fun, practical, and thought-provoking health tips, along with suggestions and insights into optimizing health and preventing chronic disease through integrative, naturopathic, and functional medicine approaches. Your body is unique, powerful, and intelligent. Your treatment should be too.
On today's episode of the Modern Vital Podcast, we're going to talk about why ferritin is the most important marker of iron deficiency. Now, in environmental medicine specifically, which I specialize in, we see a lot of iron deficiency anemia these days. And in general, we see a lot of iron deficiency anemia in chronic disease. Iron is critical because it's an essential component of hemoglobin, which is in every red blood cell and carries oxygen to basically every cell and tissue in the body. Now, if this can't happen because there isn't enough iron, then we're going to end up with poor cellular metabolism, poor regenerative activity in the tissues, a weak immune system, et cetera. Even the mitochondria aren't going to fire properly. And basically, this is because our cells and tissues aren't nourished with the oxygen that they require. And this, of course, leads to a whole host of problems in the body. Probably the most common symptom we see is just fatigue in general. And then, of course, we know that the low energy state in the body, basically from head to toe, can drive chronic disease across the board. Now, it's important to run a full iron panel when assessing our patients for iron deficiency anemia, meaning that we have to order at least the basic four, which are a serum iron, a ferritin, a transferrin, and an iron binding capacity, or TIBC. Each of these markers, and there are other markers as well, tell a little part of the story. Now, ferritin is the most important element. It's the most important marker. And there still is some debate about this, but it basically is the one that is synonymous with iron storage. The main reason that it's the most important is because it's the iron storage protein made by the liver. And so it reflects those iron stores, as I just mentioned. Now, interestingly, ferritin is also an inflammatory marker. It's known as an acute phase reactant. And it will be elevated in inflammatory diseases like irritable bowel disease, such as Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, also cardiovascular disease, and other diseases as well. Now, there's a hormone that regulates the body's use of iron, and it's called hepcidin. We don't talk about hepcidin very much, but hepcidin, interestingly, is increased during the cascade of pro-inflammatory cytokines that are produced in inflammatory disease. And hepcidin does a couple of things, but it mainly restricts the ability of the uptake or the body's capacity for uptake of the dietary iron coming in from the food. And it also promotes the sequestration or the storage of iron in the ferritin. So the storage sites become replete at the same time that the iron is not accessed from the food as well. And so a person who's all inflamed is most likely going to have some restricted iron availability, even though their ferritin might be high. Also, iron is required to make red blood cells. This is called erythropoiesis. And so we might see in some people with these inflammatory diseases, they're not making their red blood cells as well, even though they've got plenty of iron on board. Now, in general, we want to see ferritin. To be honest, it depends on what test you look at, but the most standard test we look at, we want to see it at 30 or higher from a standard conventional perspective. And this number needs to be even higher when we talk about inflammatory conditions like congestive heart failure, chronic kidney disease, irritable bowel disease. Now, transferrin which we mentioned a moment ago, is another protein, of course, made by the liver. The liver makes so many things, and it regulates the absorption of the iron into the blood. TIBC, which stands for total iron binding capacity, relates to the amount of transferrin that is available to attach to the iron, to bind the iron. So both of them are giving us a little bit different take on the same thing. And as a side note, we know that vitamin C helps in iron absorption, but I think it's commonly misunderstood that it only applies to the plant-based iron, not the heme iron from animal products. So if you're eating vitamin C or taking vitamin C, hoping that you're going to get more iron from eating red meat, it's just not really going to happen. But when it comes to nuts and seeds and dark leafy greens and things like that, then the vitamin C is going to help extract the iron from those foods. And remember, if you're taking iron, it's critical that it be in the elemental form and chelated at the highest grade. I recommend working with a holistic healthcare practitioner, like a licensed naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine practitioner, to help you suss this out, or maybe you already have iron deficiency anemia. Again, this show is not about medical advice. Everything I talked about can be readily found in the public sphere. And that concludes today's episode of the Modern Vital Podcast. We'd really love to hear from you. We value your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions, please reach out to me at ben@modernvital.com. Also, please leave us a review if you enjoyed this episode. We look forward to having you join us next time for another exciting episode of the Modern Vital Podcast.